Ain't that good, church? He's a dear friend, isn't he? Then the Apostle Paul said, all forsook me, but Christ was with me, for God was with me. Amen. When the world forsake you, our Lord would never will. I praise God for that. Well, let's be dismissed. Not from church. The adults said, amen, we're already done. Let's be dismissed. The King's Kids and Track Club, and then Pastor Daniel's going to come preach to you all. You pray for him as he comes. I'll finish this water so you don't have a... Well, I know I didn't want you to accidentally. I would have felt bad. So all you got to do right here is just swipe through, and it'll change up there.
Okay, I got
you. The only thing is, with your scripture, you'll have to...
Right. I got you. Okay. All right. Well, hey, good evening, everybody. It's good to see everybody tonight. And Pastor Tyler asked me a couple days ago to do this lesson. I was just thrilled to do so. And just going to share with you really just something the Lord's put on my heart the last couple weeks. This is really part of our family devotions, and I've been working on. I don't do it every night. I mean, it's a good thing to do if you can have a family altar time. But I try to do that every now and then. And just and we're really just looking at what the Bible has to say about speech, about words. And there's so much in the Bible about how we talk. And so we're all going to go to the woodshed tonight, and we're all going to go take a trip to the woodshed, because this one gets me every single time, and I need the Lord's help with this. And I think, you know, a lot of people in here might agree that we all need help with this and how to use our words correctly. But there's a power in words, and it's, you know, my just how you use your words. I was sharing I was in a lesson in James with the guys a few weeks ago at ISI, and we shared this story. But there was a story of a guy. He was working working in produce at a grocery store, and this lady came in there, and she wanted to buy some produce. And she asked him. He was the produce manager, and she said, "Hey, can I buy? I want to buy some lettuce, but it's just me at home. There's nobody else, so I just want to buy half a head of lettuce." And he just thought, "Well, we don't sell it by half a head." And she was just insistent. So, "Well, I don't need the whole thing. I just want to buy half a head. Can I?" And he's like, "Well, I can't let you do that." He says, "Well, why don't you go ask your manager?" And he said, "Well, fine, I will." And so he goes across the store, and he goes and talks to the general manager, and he says, "You're not going to believe this, but there's this crazy lady back here that she wants to buy a half a head of lettuce. Would you believe that?" And he turns around, and the lady had followed him across the store, standing right behind him. And he looks at his manager and he says, "But you know what? This sweet lady right here wants to buy the other half." So it'll be so. But his manager was just so impressed with him on how he was able to use his words and kind of get out of that. He wanted to promote him, and he said, "Well, how in the world do you think so quick on your feet to say that, to get out of that potentially bad situation?" And he says, "Well," he said, "you know, I grew up in my house, you know, living with, I'm from Texas, and my mom, you know, she was like that. And the only thing that comes out of Texas are football players and just really mouthy women. That's the only thing that's in Texas. So I'm used to dealing with this kind of thing." And the manager said, "Well, my wife's from Texas." And he said, "Oh, really? What football team does she play for?" So there's great power in words and how we use our words. But we see here that words have powerful consequences. The book of James talks about this. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And I you know, challenge my children with that. Be careful what you say, because your words have powerful ramifications, and they go a long way. And, you know, I was giving an illustration. My son loves to play with fire, and he loves to, anytime the wood stove is going, he loves to stock it and just be, you know, and I'm like, you know, I was really stern with him about, because he would constantly be burning leaves, and you know, I use illustration, why can't you, you know, be doing that? And he says, "Well, it might cost the woods to be on fire, and then Brother Steve's house on fire," you know. But death and life, the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So one of the most powerful things we have in our body is the tongue. And it's one of the most hard, the most difficult things to control. James says, you know, who can tame it? Who can tame it? And it's very difficult. And honestly, we need the Lord's help to be able to do this. And so, when talking about the tongue and the power of the tongue, the importance is one thing is we need to listen to the counsel of other people. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. And always be learning. You know, always be willing to learn, willing to receive counsel. I think that's true no matter how old we get or how accomplished we are in our field of study or whatever it is always trying to learn. And I remember one guy I worked for when a long time ago, and he was a very, very successful man. But I can remember one time when he hired me, I was like one of my first jobs, and he came to our orientation, and he said, guys, the secret to my success is I always surround myself with people smarter than I am. And I thought, well, that's pretty good, because this guy, you know, he's like the go-to. Everybody, you know, really respected him. But he is always learning. And, you know, you can always learn from somebody. You know, in the medical field, you know, I'm always trying to learn whoever, you know, a CNA, I don't care who it is. They can teach. There's something you can learn from that person. And I think to have that mentality to always be willing to receive instruction. But if you refuse instruction, you despise your own soul. Nobody wants to be around a know-it-all. Nobody likes a know-it-all. You know, so listen to the counsel of others. Bible says in Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. And we want to be, I challenge my children with that, you know, you want, at this point in your life, you want to be following the example of Christ. All of us want to be following the example of Christ. Specifically, what did Christ do when he was a teenager? He increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And one way that we can be wise in the latter end and in the later years is increasing in wisdom is to hear counsel and to be willing to receive instruction. And I'm glad I've got people in my life they'll sit down and just say, they'll tell me the truth, and they'll say, hey, you know what? You know, you need to be careful here. You need to watch this. You know, give me counsel. And it's good to have a circle of counselors. You know, find some people in your life that you have confidence in that are they fear the Lord. They are grounded in the Word of God, and will give you good counsel, good biblical advice. The Bible says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war." And in multitude of counselors there is safety. I think that any time you make a major life decision, there's several things that you need to do, and one of them is have a multitude of counselors and have some advice. you know, we need to pray about things. Obviously, I believe it's important to get a good scripture for it. When God gives you a scripture, because sometimes when you do a big decision, especially if you're going to do something hard that's by faith, that may not turn out well down the road, but if you've got a scripture to stand on, it doesn't matter how bad things are going. You can go back to that scripture and say, God, you led me on this. I'm claiming this promise. And that will get you through a very tumultuous time. But a lot of people don't. They do not take wise counsel. I can remember in my years as my few, just a few years as a pastor, sometimes people would seek counsel, and that's a good thing, but a lot of times, I mean, I wouldn't. People would make major choices, and I would just be informed, this is what we're doing, you know. And that's not a good idea. And a lot of times those choices maybe did not turn out very well. Seek wise counsel. Ask Pastor Tyler. God's given you a pastor, and seek his counsel. That's a wonderful thing. Seek another believer that you have confidence in, maybe somebody in your accountability partner or circle of counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth error from the words of knowledge. Not only receiving the right counsel, but also understanding what's not good counsel. A lot of people will use this verse right here, Proverbs 19:27, for the reason why they would homeschool. This is a lot of people will use this verse. Cease, my son, or that means a stop sign, stop hearing the instruction that causes you to err from words of knowledge. So anything in your life, if you're being bombarded with counsel that is contrary to the Word of God, and so a lot of parents have seen, you know, what they're teaching in the public school system, and that's contrary to the Word of God. So that's a lot of times some people, so I know, so I have some friends that will use this verse on their basis for why they would want to homeschool or whatever. But not just that, but anything. You know, sometimes we have, and I always challenge my children with this. I says, you've got to ask God to give you wisdom. And the beginning of wisdom, it comes from the fear of the Lord. You need to learn just to fear God and have a reverential respect for God. And have a desire to please God when no one is even watching you. Just you want to please God. That's the fear of God. And when you do that, He's gonna grow. You're gonna develop a wisdom in your life. And when you get wisdom, you're gonna have discernment. And you're gonna be able to discern, is this right or is this wrong counsel. I had a situation yesterday. My tire has been running kind of low on air, for the last few days, and I just keep pumping it with air. I'm like, man, what's going on? And I thought, man, I got a hole in there somewhere. I went over a nail or something. I tell you what, I find nails, and I will find it. I am not even going to drive in this parking lot anymore. I'm just going to park across the road because I'll find the nail. Anyway, I went to this guy and I said, look, I think my tire, I think I got a hole in it plugged. And the guy was kind of busy. And I could tell he didn't really want to. There's not much money in plugging a tire, you know. And so he was busy, and I dropped it off even. I went down to the hospital. Mom was down there getting some tests done, and I went back. And he says, well, I looked at it. It's fine. It's just you got a loose valve. That's all it is. And I kind of, deep down inside, I knew that wasn't right. But he says, that's what it is. But he's like the expert. So I said, okay, you know, whatever. And so he did that, and I was out on 81, and my tire started going low again and got a flat tire. So I got to change a tire on the interstate. I've never changed a tire on the interstate before. That's not fun. I mean, these trucks going by, but we got done. But that was bad counsel. And so, it did have, there was a problem on the inner wall. But so we need to accept good counsel and then understand when there's bad counsel. And then the Bible tells us we need to listen before we respond and be slow to respond. Now, this is one thing where we get ourselves in a lot of trouble by being quick to respond. I'm not the quickest person as far as wit, really. And it frustrates me sometimes because, you know, some people are just really good with comebacks. But me, you know, I'll think of the perfect comeback like 2 days later, you know. I'm just not that witty. But, you know, honestly, that's probably one of the greatest blessings that God didn't make me. Because, honestly, that's gotten me out of more problems in my life. Because a lot of times it's best not to say anything. And so, I'm not, I know people that are just really good, man. They're just good. But, and also that a lot of times if we have that gift of just that quick comeback, that can get us in a lot of problems. So the Bible says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him. So this will help you at work, I mean, or wherever, in your family. Somebody comes to you and they say, you won't believe what this person did. And immediately, you know, you're the non-biased listener. So you're just hearing what they say and you're kind of mad and you're mad at that person. You're seeing this picture that's being painted for you. And it's a folly for us to answer a matter and to go and say, well, I'll tell you what, they shouldn't have done that. I'll go tell them right now. I'll say something. Never do that. You want to hear the whole matter, because what's the truth? There's always what? Two sides to every story, every single time. And when we take the time to hear out the matter, a lot of times God will bring things to light, and it really starts to make sense. And then we can answer the matter. A lot of times this happens to me all the time. It happens to you all the time as a pastor, happens all the time as a leader of ORH. I get all these things, bombarded with all these things, and they say, what do you think? And, you know, honestly, I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm going to pray about that. And you don't have to give an answer. You don't have to give an immediate answer on things. You just, he that answers the matter before he hears. So hear out the matter and then search out the matter. So that's a wise thing to do. So be slow to speak. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. And so I always stress this to my kids. I says, you know, you don't always have to say something. don't be hasty to speak. If there's more hope for a fool than someone who you know, just kind of sit back. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And I tell my kids, you know, I'm sure the same thing your parents told you, or you tell your kids, you know, God made it, he created us with two ears and one mouth. and I don't know if my kids had ever heard that. I asked them that as we were doing this devotion. I said, now, why did God do that? And they're like, and it's like a light bulb went off. So, oh, okay. but be swift to hear, slow to speak, and then slow to wrath. A lot of times when we hear something, we can get angry. And especially if we say something in that time, it escalates our anger, okay? And it escalates a situation around us, whether it be with family, with friends, at work. So swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And this point here is be careful that not to don't talk too much. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Okay, I've got a really good friend and that I've worked with a lot in the ministry. Really, really smart. I mean, just really smart. But I always has to say something about everything. And she's in the military, brother. And it just, that doesn't go good, you know. So it's caused her a lot of problems. I mean, it's wise just to refrain our lips. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. When we grow in wisdom with the Lord, and you can't do this without, you know, God's help. God gives wisdom. Okay, there's the wisdom that comes from above. That is a God-given thing that comes from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and fearing the Lord, and studying His Word, and following His way. But when we do that, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is an excellent spirit. So if God will help us with this area of our speech, that will in turn, we'll have an excellent spirit, okay? There's several people in the Bible that the Bible talks about that has an excellent spirit. One of them was Daniel. The Bible says Daniel, he had an excellent spirit. Joseph had an excellent spirit. I always try to encourage that, and I pray this for my kids. You know, I want my kids to have a good spirit about them. And I believe my oldest daughter, she has an excellent spirit. I pray that my kids will develop in that way. But understanding, have understanding, and growing in the Lord. We see here that in Proverbs 17:28, it says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Now, this is a great verse right here. You can be in a situation where there's something going on, and maybe nobody knows what to do, and really you may not have a clue, okay? But if you keep your mouth shut, you people might think you know what you're doing. Do you know? Does that make sense? It's true. I mean, you don't say anything and just, you know, have a calm demeanor about you, The Bible says right here, even a fool, you may have no clue what's going on, but when you hold your peace, you're counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed as a man of understanding. And so I can vouch for that. I've been in a lot of situations where I really don't. I'm like, you know, way over my head. But, you know, you just kind of, you get through it because, you know, you don't always have to say something. So it's good to refrain our tongue sometimes. The next point is that we've been going over in our family devotion is to think. Think before you speak. In Proverbs 13:3, the Bible says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." that's just some really good counsel there. We want to think before we say something. I know a lot of companies, even on a professional level, a lot of companies nowadays they hire. They're really big on these personality tests. I don't know if you've ever had a job where you had to take a personality test, but they're big on that, and they really look at that stuff, and they watch people. They'll watch people in groups and things like that. And a lot of times, companies will you can succeed through a company not based on, you know, aptitude, but really on attitude. And so the big thing you'll hear a lot about and is they call it emotional intelligence. And so emotional intelligence is just things really that you it's right, you know, it's just how you can relate with people and how you can control your tongue or use your words. And so he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth his lips shall have destruction. I've known some people that are very, very intelligent, very good in their field, but they had a problem with their tongue, and it really cost them. I've known people they've lost their jobs, they've lost promotions, they've lost in the ministry. This can really cost you. People in the ministry, you know, you can't control their tongue or say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and it really causes a lot of problems. So, being able to think before we speak. The Bible says, "The heart of a righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of wicked poureth out evil things." So I think it's wise that when things happen, we really need to pray in the moment. In this sentence, some of you are going to probably pray out loud, but you're just being a spirit of prayer each day and say, "Lord, you know, how do I answer this? What should I say here?" And so the heart of the righteous studieth the answer. And the best way we can get an answer is you know, searching out a matter. Looking for a biblical foundation and in prayer and just asking God, say, "God, what, give me the words to say here." You know, and I know you're like me, you have situations all the time where you're not really sure how to handle a situation. But God will help us. I mean, He has promised to give us wisdom, not only give us wisdom, He has promised to give us a liberal amount of wisdom when we ask Him in faith. And so we just ask God, and the heart of a righteous will study to answer. And then use words that are appropriate. This was our memory verse at our home last week. But Proverbs 25:11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." And really in the original language in the Hebrew, the idea here is the pictures is really more like a bowl. It was like a silver bowl, like a basin. And they would have golden apples in the so if you think of like a silver bowl in your house and there's golden apples in it. So a fitly working, fitly spoken word is like, that's golden, man. That's worth a lot of money, and that's a beautiful arrangement in a silver bowl. My dad, he used to always ingrain this in me when I was growing up, and he would just say, "Daniel, you know," he would say, "it's not what you say, it's what? It's how you say it." Yeah, he would always say, "it's not what you do, it's how you do it." And so he's going back to this principle right here in Proverbs 25:11, "A word fitly spoken." What's a fitly spoken word? It's a word spoken in the right tone. It's a word spoken. It's the right words at the right time. Sometimes it's just not good. You just don't need to say anything. Sometimes it's like, when do I say something? When do I not? And so that's something God has to help us with that. And so the other principle we see here in the Word of God is speak the truth. Speak the truth. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:13, it says, "Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. And so when you'll find a lot of times at works in an organization, someone who will give honest feedback, you know, in the right way, is a very valuable player in that. They want to know somebody's going to tell them the truth. Okay, you'll find that in any organization. You'll be like, I'm going to ask so and so because I know they'll tell me what they'll really tell me. Because a lot of people are just going to tell you what you want to hear, you know. But you know, my wife, she's like that. She will tell you like exactly. I mean, you know, if she'll just tell you, you know, how it is. And you know, the Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, but righteous lips are the delight of kings. And so when I ask for her feedback, if it's, you know, I know she'll, if it's not, if I didn't do good or something, she'll tell me and in a real sweet way, but she'll let me know. And she'll also tell me, so I really appreciate that. But, but they love him that speaketh right. So speaking the truth is a wonderful thing. It's an important thing. It's important for us. It's important to give honor to God, to glorify God. It's the right thing to do. It's helpful to our children. It's helpful to our spouse. It's helpful to people at work to speak truth. It's helpful to the lost. We need to speak truth to the lost. But how do we speak? And this is the key in Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love. You know, I can just, you know, go out on a street corner and just yell at everybody that, hey, you are going to hell in a mean spirit. Maybe that's the truth if they're not saved, but, you know, it's not really done in love. It's not gonna connect with them. And this is a skill. This takes, I mean, you just gotta have the hand of God on you to be able to do this. This is a God thing, to be able to really communicate truth in love and grow up in Him all things, which is ahead, even Christ. And it says, from the whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So when we speak the truth in love, that is helpful. Because what's the ultimate thing we want to do with people we're around? And we want people to do this to us. We want to edify the body of Christ as a body of believers. Our job to each other, our responsibility to each other, is to help edify one another. I mean, that's what a local called out assembly, that's one of the roles of it, is to edify one another and to build each other up in Christ, in the fullness of Christ. And so use words that edify. Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So when we use our tongue appropriately, it is. It's like a tree of life. It helps edify. It helps build up. It helps promote its nourishment. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So when I don't use my words right, it grieves the spirit of God. It really does. I believe I've got that on the next verse here in Ephesians 4. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then, look, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So if I say a harsh word to my wife, not only is that not good for our relationship, but it grieves the Spirit of God. And you know, I know I've said this a lot with Jess and I. If there's ever a problem, if it's ever a problem with us in any way, it's because we're not yielded to the Spirit of God. We have grieved the Spirit of God. You look in Ephesians, you look in Colossians, you follow that pattern, and you say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit, and you surrender the Spirit of God. And when you're Spirit-filled, you yield the fruits of the Spirit, okay? And then right after that, then it talks about the home. Then it talks about relationships at work. Then it talks about, you know, all these other things. And it all starts being just really filled with the Spirit of God. And that helps everything. So that helps with our speech. When we say the wrong thing, and that's why, you know, everything can be going so good and it's so easy just to let the slip of the tongue. You just say something and boom, you grieve the Spirit. It can hurt It can hurt a family. It can hurt a church. It can hurt the spirit of a team at work or whatever. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so a lot of times we want to say something because somebody wronged us. But the spirit, what this passage is teaching us, is that we just need to be kind and we need to forgive and not say something. Let it go. Because God, he forgave us, and he didn't just forgive us, but for Christ's sake. It cost him something. It cost him his son. He was wronged in so many ways. And our sin debt is great, but he forgave us for his Christ's sake. And so when we don't say something, we feel like, man, I didn't get my revenge there. But that's how God forgave us. He wrote off the sin debt, and it cost him something. He wrote it off. It's never coming back. That's the spirit. So here's the issue. What is the source of our words? Why do we have why is this such a hard thing? And I'm sorry. I know I know we're all at the woodshed right now, just getting pounded. But why is this so difficult? Well, let's think about it. The source of our words is our heart. Matthew 12:34 says, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. He says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And so that's the issue. When we have a speech problem, really the issue is more than just a speech problem. It's a heart problem. So the problem is it is our heart. And so you think, well, what's wrong? What is wrong with my heart? And Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And so every single one of us have a sinful heart. We have a wicked heart. Deep down inside, we all have just a heart that's deceitful above all things. And so here's the solution: is a heart transplant. we need a heart transplant. And so I believe I love the psalmist in Psalm 51, David, when he sinned against God, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit in me." And we need a new heart. We need a new heart at salvation. We need to have our heart cleaned up when we get sin. So this is a lifetime thing. We're trying to fessing up our sin, keeping our sin list short, coming clean before God. And when our heart is right, then our spirit's right. Okay. So this is the issue. So what is the surgery? The surgeon, God's word is the Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And so that's why I don't normally preach like that. I usually try to take a passage and just break it down in an expository way. But I just want you to see the magnitude of Scripture about the tongue. And I cut out a lot of verses. I really did. I've got a whole part one of this that we did last week. I actually taught it to King's Kids last week. There's just so much about this. And why is that? Because it's such an issue. It's a problem. We need this. And so when we get in the Word of God, you don't have to go very far, and you're going to get some good counsel on how to deal with the tongue. And it's a matter of the heart. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Psalm 19:14. And the psalmist prays, he begs God. He says, "God, will you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart." So you see again that the word, your word promise, it's out of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the meditation of my heart, that's where it starts. "Will you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer?" And the Lord is all capital. It's the Lord. Jehovah God, he is Lord. Okay? He is in charge of us. And he's our strength. He's our redeemer. He's our hope. He's everything to us. We're complete in Christ. But he's praying this to God: "Will you let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart and it'd be acceptable. And that word acceptable, it says, God, will you be so pleased with what I'm saying and so pleased with what I'm thinking that you rain favor upon my life? And that's, I don't know about you, but for me, that's convicting. That's convicting to me. And I have to pray. And I think every time I pray that, I say, God, will you let that be so? But it's never been so. I'm always found wanting. But that's something I'm striving for. And I need God's help to do this. But this is a great prayer of meditation. I think that would be good for all of us to memorize, meditate upon it, pray it. Just pray that you want to be, you want God's will, you pray God's word. just pray it out loud to God. And God's been faithful to me and helped me with this over the years with my speech. And I know he'll help you as well. But that's all I've got.